you have a copy of God's Word, we're turning to not John chapter 3, but John chapter 1. John chapter 1, and I want to read some verses from beginning at verse 6. Chapter 1 and the words of verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them giving power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Amen. Just ending a reading at the end of verse 13. And we know the Lord himself will add his own divine blessing upon it. You might consider that Christ was in this world before his incarnation. He is the eternal Son. The very opening verse in the scriptures, of course, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The name God there is in the plural. And Christ was in this world before he was born in Bethlehem. But when his incarnation did take place, he came onto a specific region and a specific people. He came onto that people that were delivered from the land of Egypt. And they were delivered by the Passover lamb, by the blood that was shed. He came onto that nation that were set apart from every other nation in this world. He came unto that people who had been given the very oracles of God, the very word of God. And that is a great privilege that this people have. But yet we read in these verses that while he came unto those who were blessed, who were privileged, who had the Old Testament scriptures, yet when he came, they received him not. They rejected him. There are some of the most saddest words that you'll read in the whole canon of God's Word. But you know, men and women, what we read of in the next verse is a remnant. Because God will always have his people. And I draw your attention tonight, particularly to John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I want you to follow with me, because therein you will see the proclamation of the gospel. I don't go too far into the text. I simply repeat it again to you. But as many, the proclamation of the gospel is to be unto the many. And that little phrase, as many, can be translated whosoever or whatsoever. And so here is the truth right at the beginning, that the Savior came and the gospel comes unto the many, unto the Pharisee, unto the publican, unto the Gentile, unto the Jew, unto those that were educated. even to this night, is unto as many. As many. Doesn't matter what your circumstances are. Doesn't matter what your upbringing has been. Doesn't matter what title you may be found under. The gospel is to the many. It is to the whosoever. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But when we speak about the proclamation of the gospel, then we're speaking about a message. And that message is one that is commissioned by God. Why do we stand and preach the gospel? Why do we go into the pulpit and preach the Bible, preach the gospel? It's because the preacher has been commissioned to do that. For 1 Corinthians 1 reminds us that it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The Lord hasn't commissioned drama or music or anything else, but he has commissioned the preaching of the gospel to save sinners. And the content of that message, the content of the message of the gospel that we bring to you, is one that gives life to the dead. Because we are dead in trespasses and in sins by nature and by birth. It gives hope to the hopeless. It gives strength to the weak. It gives life, eternal, abundant, everlasting life to those that are fearful of perishing and dying in their sin. You see, men and women, that is the content of the gospel. And the cross, it is unto us that are saved, the power of God. That's why we share it with you tonight. We might ask the question we find in Romans 10, how shall they hear without a preacher? The Lord has been gracious unto your soul again, in that you hear the message of the gospel. We don't proclaim to you tonight, a church, a set of rules. We do not proclaim to you an example that is walking on this earth. We point you to the gospel. And we ask that you would give attention to its proclamation, because therein is found life. But notice also in my text, you'll notice here the person of the gospel. And for that I will read a little further. But as many as received him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. This verse, it speaks to us of a person. It speaks about receiving him. And if you receive, you accept. You take him. It also says at the end of the verse, to believe in his name. Men and women, to believe is to give assent to. It is to consent to the truth of the person. And the person is not John the Baptist, of whom we read about in these opening verses, but rather it is the one whom he came as a forerunner to. The one who is the light of the world. The person is the Lord Jesus Christ. Those two words, both at the start and the close of my verse, to receive him, to believe in him, it's one and the same term. If you receive Christ, you believe in him. If you believe Christ, you receive him. Simple as that. It's one and the same thing. I wonder, have you received him by faith? Have you accepted him as your Savior? Have you acknowledged him as Lord? was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He's the Word incarnate. He is the King of Kings. The wise men at the start of Matthew, they were asked the question, where is he that is born King of the Jews? He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of lords. He is the Lord our righteousness. He is Jehovah Tsidkenu, to use the Hebrew. That is important because of ourselves we have no righteousness. All our righteousness are but as filthy rags in God's sight. You need the righteousness of Christ. You need the righteousness that is accepted by God. That is the Lord himself. Because at the point of conversion, the great exchange is made. Your filthy rags are taken off. And we're clothed in his spotless garment, that garment of Christ's righteousness. Hey, he is the Word. He is the King of Kings. He is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord of righteousness. He is our Savior, the only Savior. Message to Joseph was, I shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's what the name Jesus means. Let me ask you tonight, as we've been bringing to you this little verse in John 1, is he your Savior? Is he your King? Is he your Lord? Is he your righteousness? Are you resting and depending upon the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is presented to me and to you in this text? But as many as received him, to them give you the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. We have seen the proclamation of the gospel. We have noted the person of the gospel. But you know, there's also the privileges of the gospel that are also found in my text. I've read them already. But as many as received him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God. Here's the first privilege. It's the privilege of adoption. You and I know what adoption is in the physical connotation of it. But here it is spiritually. Because you see, men and women, by nature, we're not the children of God. We're not part of his family. By nature, Paul and the apostle reminds us in Ephesians, we are as children of wrath, even as others. We are those who are born in sin and in iniquity. And yet here's the great miracle of God's grace. And we began to become the children of God. And that speaks about adoption. That speaks to us about a standing that we never had before. We don't have it in our sin. We don't have it serving the devil. But in the gospel, the Lord gives us the privilege of having a standing. Because when we receive Christ by faith, when we believe in him with all our heart, and ask him into our heart, taking away our sin, washing us in his precious blood, the Lord not only saves us, but we are adopted into his family, into the very fold of God. What a privilege to be considered as a child of God, adopted, redeemed, and blessed. Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. It tells us something of that adoption. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba Father. The simplest of words. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Does God's Spirit bear witness with you tonight that there was a point in your life when you were born again, when you were saved, you became a child of God? through the gospel tonight. But not only is there adoption, but there's also salvation. I've got to read on into the next verse to get you to that, because it says, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. It's speaking about the new birth. And the new birth, or been born again, of what you've been hearing singing about earlier, is salvation. It's been saved. It's been converted. You'll notice how you're not born again. You're not born again by birth, by blood, not by descent, not because mother or father is saved or you saved, no. You're not born again by the efforts of our own. It's not by the will of the flesh. You're not saved by the actions or the deeds of others. It's not by the will of man. But you see, it is of God. Being born again of God. It's all of grace. God of grace speaks to your heart tonight. The invitation of the gospel goes out. That you might receive. You might be born again. And the grace of God that saves is also the grace of God that will keep you. And will keep you for time and for all eternity. We're kept by the power of God through faith. Ready to receive in the last day. What a privilege. Adoption, salvation, glorification. Because you see, men and women, once you've received Christ and believed in his name and are saved, born again of God's Spirit, then you have the assurance, you have the prospect of when this life on earth is over, you have the prospect of being in heaven. You have the prospect of being with Christ in his immediate presence, which is far better. You have the prospect of walking that street that is paved with gold, that which man counts as the most precious thing now. We'll be walking on it in glory. That land that is fairer than day, that land where the angels give continual praise and adoration and worship unto the Lamb upon his throne. That land where there's no more sin. That land where there's no more temptation of sin. There's no devil there. That land where there's no sickness, there's no death, there's no cortege going down the street. That land where there's no need of the sun or the moon. There's no darkness there. That land of glory. See, that's glorification. Whom the Lord saves, he glorifies. You're assured of heaven as if you're already there. That's the gospel that this book preaches and teaches. That's the proclamation of the gospel that I leave with you tonight as I bring that verse again to you. But as many as received him, to them giving power. And the word power, by the way, gives this sense of authority or the right. He doesn't give a strength, as it were, in the terms of which we would use that word. But he gives the right or the authority to become a son of God. Son or a daughter of the King. Even to them that believe on his name. I wonder, will you come tonight to receive him and believe the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved? That's my prayer. Thank God we're hearing of others getting saved. What about you? Will you come tonight? If we can be of any help, we're here. Gladly open the scriptures again to you. Point you to Christ. You can seek the Lord even where you are, your own home, your own car. Call upon him for mercy. Thank you for coming tonight and for your attention. We appreciate it. appreciate it. We pray the Lord will bless His Word as it has gone forth. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, again, thank Thee for the opportunity to stand under the canopy of heaven. Thank the Lord for withholding the rain. We bless the Lord for a little time spent around Thy Word. Thank the Lord for this text that we've been looking at. As many as received Him, to them give me the power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe in His name. O God, we pray that Thou would write that text on the heart of the soul tonight yet without Christ. They might be poor, they might be rich, might be educated or uneducated. But, oh God, surely they can put their name in the Word, whosoever. They can put their name in that little phrase as many. For they've heard the message. They've heard the gospel. They've heard the way of God's salvation tonight. How to be born again. Lord, we pray that Thou would by Thy Spirit do Thy work. Thank Thee, Lord, tonight that Thy God's salvation is all of Thy grace. Lord, it's not of a church or a preacher. It is of God's grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. And not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. I pray, Lord, that I would bring souls even unto Thyself tonight. Lord, Thou would be honored and glorified. For it is now in Thy blessing and Thy fear. Give Thy hand upon us in our goings out and our comings in. O God, we pray for good days to come. Days of God's right hand. Days, Lord, will Thou build Thy church. Gates of hell shall not prevail against it. For we ask these things in our Savior's name. For God's great eternal glory.